The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Kind of excited. I guess with all these screaming channels, that's what I call them, streaming channels, I found a senior channel. I'm going to take advantage of it this New Year's Eve. Yeah, it has the ball. You can watch it. It has the ball going down in Times Square at 8:30 p.m. So that's kind of neat. You know, I mean, it's getting harder and harder to stay up till midnight. 60 is the new 40, but 9 is the new midnight. Very nice to have you here on The Doctor Is In throughout the Christmas time on Thursday. I hope you had an all beautiful Christmas, warm Christmas. And the number of great loving, warm family relations that you had over those days and maybe continue to have dwarf that relation or two that disturbs your peace or distresses you or that you agonizingly worry about coming for the 4 days they're going to come. So hopefully all of the warmth and good times keeps the bad times from reverberating in your mind. You can do that. The number to get onto this program is 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's how you get on the program. It's very simple, really. I had to get on the program through a lot of groveling, a lot of sharing of a resume, a lot of getting my mother to call in and say, give my son a chance. He needs his own show. I had to go through all that. You don't. You just got to dial 10 numbers. And then you can get in. Easy enough. You can ask or comment. Talk about something going on in your life. Situation, circumstances, people, friends. Maybe. And again, this goes back to what I just said about 8 sentences ago. That there was something in your holiday that wasn't as warm as you would like. It brought to the surface some stuff. We can talk about that and hopefully lift that off your shoulders. I'd like to do that. So, call in, situation, circumstance. Now, calls generally this time of the holidays, and you notice this with all the radio talk shows, they all got substitute hosts. I'm not going to have a substitute host, you know that. I want to be with you. Now, there may be some repeats, some least worst ofs that we run. I don't have any best ofs. But I'm here live now. So if you'd like to get on the air, asking a question, you got plenty of time. Right now, everything is wide open. 877-573-7825. I'm a little hesitant to start this way because in the past when I have done this, somehow it sends a message that this is a different type of show in the sense that it's not necessarily you calling in with circumstances in your life or comments about other calls or generic questions, that somehow it is a scripturally based program because I comment on some things in scripture that I often ponder, wonder about. Raw speculation, that's all it is, raw speculation. But sometimes people don't call in because they say, well, he's talking about this topic, so I really don't want to call in about what's happening with my mother-in-law. See, we got Mary calling in already, so that's good. So Mary wants to talk. And you can certainly call in and share some of the things that you thought, perhaps, made your time over Christmas that much better. I want to preface what I'm going to do, double underline it, with this. Again, it's just my pondering, my speculation. And some of you may be a little ill at ease at this because you're thinking, wait a minute, are you implying that our Blessed Mother and her family was human? Now, we know our Blessed Mother didn't sin, but she still was human. And certainly there isn't anything in Catholic teaching or belief or tradition that even remotely says her parents, even though they were saints, were sinless. And you'd think they would react somewhat like we would react. Let me go to it. In the sixth month, okay, that was our calendar sixth month, the angel Gabriel, now how do we know that was the angel Gabriel? You can say that, well, it's just scripture. The Lord's inspiring Luke, and he just put Gabriel. Well, I don't think you have to go that far. I think Luke makes it pretty clear. He talked to Mary about all this. And it's likely that the angel said, I am Gabriel. Okay, got that. And you got to figure, in some way, the angel manifested himself in a way. Should I said himself? Okay, it's a male name. In a way. Oh boy, we got the family conflict calls coming in already. It's all right, we'll take care of that. In a way that Mary could perceive it. I mean, her eyes can only perceive a very small percentage of the world around us. We can't see the vast majority of the invisible world. That's why I love it. When we say our prayer in the creed, maker of the invisible and visible and invisible. That's cool because there's a lot of invisible out there. Angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee. It's a region. Galilee's a region. Named Nazareth. To a virgin betrothed. That usually lasted several days. To a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Mary was also of the house of David along a different line. And the virgin's name was Mary. And make it very clear, she's a virgin. Hail, full of grace. Now, interestingly enough, that word hail is an appellation of royalty. That's like you would say, Hail Caesar. It's a Greek word. It's very powerful. It's not hello. How you doing, Mayor? No, it's hail. You got an angel, a powerful angel, to this probably young teenage girl, greeting her as though she's royalty. Hail. Full of grace. Keratomene is the word. I remember that fancy word. It means you who have been perfected in grace. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the same. Why would she be troubled? That the Lord is with you? Or you've got this overpowering presence saying something to her like she's royalty. What? That's got to mess your head up. You can't understand this. How could you understand this? We just tend to think, oh, okay. Well, the angel came, and here's Mary in the middle of the night or sometime during the night, and this being that she can't really interpret, but he tells her who he is, but she says, oh, okay, yeah, you're an angel. Okay, you got some other angels with you, or just you, Gabe? All right, you got to figure, this is a shocking experience. And the angel said, oh, interesting. She was greatly troubled and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. You know, this confused her. Hail? In other words, hey, I'm giving you great honor, and you have been perfected in grace. To put it in the modern vernacular, it would be, huh? And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. No, she was afraid. He wouldn't have had to say, don't be afraid, if she wasn't afraid. She had to be perplexed, mixed in with the fear. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. and you shall call him, call his name Jesus. Okay, and then Gabriel goes on and talks about the Lord. And then Mary said, well, how can this be, since I have no husband? And the angel said, Mary, you're betrothed to Joseph, okay? You know what happens when you get married, right? So that's going to happen. Oh, wait. He didn't say that. Oh, okay, wait a minute. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, come upon you was a euphemism for basically saying that the Holy Spirit will make you be with child. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That word overshadow has only been used a couple of times in Scripture. The Shekinah glory cloud overshadowed the ark. I wonder if Luke chose that word deliberately to say, we got ourselves a new Ark of the Covenant here. Now, let's extrapolate this. One of the neat things, boy, there's so much to say about this, but I do want to get to your calls. One of the neat things about Scripture, especially the New Testament, it is so understated. Okay, an angel came to her, and the angel told her this, and she was in awe, and she was puzzled. If I was writing this, I'd have all kinds of descriptions. I'd be saying all kinds of things. Mary didn't know how to interpret this. She laid awake for 2 hours trying to figure out what it meant until she finally got up in the morning and went and talked to her mom and said, Mom, I got to tell you what happened last night. Now, do you suppose that St. Anne said, wow, that is really cool, Mary. Oh, wow. Man, I don't know if anybody's had an angel appear to him. Or do you think she would be like you and me? Mary, are you sure you weren't dreaming? Mary, dreams can seem very real. How do you know you were wide awake? I gotta think that. Now, one might say, oh, come on, Ray, what are you doing this? Why are you humanizing and trivializing? I'm not. I'm just saying Luke leaves all that out because he just wants to tell the story in its most simple way. As if this happened, I'm not going to sit here and try to justify it and rationalize it. I'm just going to tell you, believe it or not. Okay, those of you who have teenagers, if they came and told you this, would you say, wow, tell me about this angel. What was he like? What did he look like? Whoa. Now you're going to get pregnant? Really? But wait a minute. You're consecrated virgin, right? So how's that going to happen? Had to be a lot of reflections like Mary's. How will this be? St. Augustine said that. It was one of the disputes. When I was in the evangelical world, we just said it flat out. We took it as a fact that Mary had other children and Jesus had brothers and sisters. That's what Scripture says, right? Well, if you know Scripture, you'd know the meaning of those brothers and sisters. But they just took it for granted. And St. Augustine said, her question makes no sense. If she was planning to have relations, how can this be? She could have easily said, oh, wow, all right, well, I am betrothed. Yeah, go through that period of betrothal and be taken into Joseph's house as his wife. Wow, I didn't know that, so I guess the pregnancy is going to happen pretty quick, huh? Just a lot here that's worth pondering. I had a friend say to me once, why do you think about those things? And I said, what better stuff is there to think about than that? Knowing full well, it could be way off, but still, it's kind of a mind-stretching exercise to ponder this. Speaking of mind-stretching exercises, call in. Give me your situations, and we'll see what we can do with a little mind-stretching here. The number, 877-57-EQUAL, 877-573-7825. 25. Let's fill up the phones, or else I'm going to go back to interpreting Scripture. Well, speculating.
Ever get asked one of those tough questions, like, do Catholics worship Mary? And in that moment, you freeze. Truthfully, the Catholic AI app gives you answers in seconds rooted in scripture, tradition, and the magisterium. Whether you're navigating a tough conversation, deepening your faith, or looking for daily spiritual guidance, Truthfully helps you know, live, and defend the Catholic faith. Truthfully can be found in the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Truthfully, T-R-U-T-H-L-Y.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Our world is filled with noise, work, screens, and endless demands. But Christ calls us to step away and listen. The nonprofit Revive app offers one-on-one virtual conversations with certified spiritual companions who help you deepen your relationship with God, discern His will, and find peace. If even the saints needed spiritual guidance, how much more do we? Your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Very nice to have you with me. 877-57-EQUAL, number here. Let's get on the program. Mary from Texas, and I got a feeling I'm going to know the answer to the question I'm going to ask Mary as soon as she gives me a little synopsis of what's going on. Hi, Mary.
Hey there, Dr. Ray. Great to talk with you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the above.
You too, my dear.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. This is something that I have been seeing happening in friends of mine. We're all in our 70s and have daughters like in the 38 to 45-ish age range. And stepping back, I'm wondering, is this leftovers from woke that happened in the 2020 and just all kinds of crazy thinking that my daughter informed me she has been going to therapy to the tune of $245 an hour every Thursday for
wow.
Knows how long?
I'm too cheap. Yeah. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Well,
I'll charge anywhere near that.
Whew. Yeah. Me either. So, this gal has her all the way back to my grandmother's grandmother and how all the women in the family lived horrid lives and were never healed, and we have passed down all this horridness to her.
So, wait a minute. Time out. And this counselor pronounces all of these women whom she has never seen as having all kinds of pathological, psychological issues. Just want to make sure I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Because of circumstances that happened in their lives, starting back with the one that was widowed during the Civil War and had 5 children, and then one of those children, she grew up and then she had children, and there was fathers that died, and life. Life happened in every generation. I did not realize it was.
So this generational thing has just continued with your daughter looking at you and all the ways you fouled up her upbringing.
Exactly. And Okay. I fully get generational curses, but I fully get healing and redemption. But when I asked her, well, are you all talking about grace and mercy and healing? And, well, Mother, until you get to a counselor, are you in counseling, Mother? Do you not even understand this? You're just gaslighting me. And I'm going, ooh.
And she knows, your daughter knows the words, don't she? Your daughter knows the words. Has she accused you of being toxic, and she has to set up boundaries because you're a narcissist?
Absolutely. And all these things. But when she tearfully said, I now know I lived every day of my life disappointed.
Wow.
I almost burst out laughing because it was so ridiculous. And then, but Holy Spirit, thank you for keeping my poker face and just listened to what she was saying. And it was at that point the Holy Spirit said, this is it. This is what you're up against. And I've never thought about fighting my daughter in the flesh over this. This has been brewing about 10 years now. My concluding words to her, I said, you are 43 years old now. I'm 71. When we can talk to each other as two grown women with grace and mercy and understanding and seek healing together and not fight each other, I will be happy to continue this conversation.
All right, Mary. So much to say here. So much to say. First of all, I did a monologue recently on how a lot of therapists are looking at the way these clients are telling them they were raised and just flat out accepting the subjective portrayal of the client. And immediately assuming that these parents were as evil and awful and terrible and abusive and nasty and toxic as the kids are describing them. That's the first thing. A good therapist knows that you've got to be very, very cautious, especially when somebody is emotionally distraught, to listen and try to get a better grasp on the reality of the whole situation. That's one. Two, sadly, I'm seeing more and more therapists advise this, where they tell the kids, well, you know, for your own peace, you need to separate. You need to put boundaries. You need to distance yourself. You need to sever because these people are just tough. Now, the interesting thing about therapy focuses on the self. Christianity focuses on the other. So therefore, in therapy, you would expect a lot of therapists to say, well, you know, if you're not at peace, if you're not contentful, you need to just extricate, get out of those situations, those people. Christianity would say, well, as far as possible, you need to forgive. You need to be tolerant. You need to be understanding. Okay, these are not evil people. These are people you just didn't like the way you were raised. Now, all that said, it would seem to me that your daughter at age 41, and here's the question I was going to ask you, Mary. It sounds like her own life hasn't been all that contented and peaceful and situationally satisfactory.
Well, if you look at it from the world's point of view, she's a one percenter, highly educated, extremely professionally successful.
Well, that doesn't mean she's personally content.
No. Right. And this is where it is. She also has had tragedy. She mothered a newborn baby at 35 days. Fell asleep.
Stay there, Mary. I'm going to take you through the break. 877-573-7825. I would like to ask you, ladies, to please be patient. I will get to you. Don't hang up on me like all the girls did in college. Oh, look, one of them just hung up already. Natalie, better call back.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life, lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
When we ask God our Father to deliver us from evil, are we referring to an idea or a person? We are not referring to an abstraction, says the Catholic Catechism. We are referring to a person, the evil one, Satan, the fallen angel, who throws himself across God's plan of salvation accomplished in Christ. Jesus labeled Satan a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. We do not pray alone. We pray in communion with the church for the whole human family. Our interdependence in the drama of sin and death is turned into solidarity in the body of Christ, the communion of saints. If one entrusts himself to God, one does not dread the devil. Victory over Satan, the prince of the world, was attained once and for all when Jesus freely gave himself over to death in order to give us his life. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm talking to Mary from Texas. Situation is oh so common. I see this theme just constantly. Mary's perplexed. Well, maybe she's not perplexed. I think it's half perplexed and half disgust at the fact that her very quote-unquote financially successful daughter in her 40s gone to therapy and has just decided that Mary is the source of all the bad things that have happened in her life. You know, Mary, one of the problems with people lacking insight into how they create their own distress is that they have to point somewhere else. And unfortunately, there's a bevy of therapists ever ready to point to the parents. You were just raised bad, you went through miserable, and it's finally coming out, and so glad now you're in your 40s, you finally realize when you were 12 how miserable you were. All I can say to you, Mary, well, I can say a lot, but what I want to say to you is I sure hope that you are not allowing this anymore to disturb your peace.
I would like to say that that was absolutely true. The grandchildren, we moved here 10 years ago to be here for the grandchildren, but that's all but over. So, yeah.
Well, that's the ultimate club, which is I'm not going to let you see the grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there's just always some other very legitimate reason why.
Yes.
It's not convenient.
I would say this to you, Mary. With all the accusations, with all the faults that are dredged up about the way you raised your daughter, it would seem to me that that would convince you that, in fact, a lot of this is her perception and not your terrible parenting. And furthermore, that you're not going to convince her otherwise.
Correct.
Has she written you off totally?
I would say 98%.
Wow.
Still does the holiday thing in minimal, just to say that, no, I haven't cut my mother off because that wouldn't look right.
Well, okay. I can't address your daughter. I know I get a lot of these in therapy, and I do what I can to get the adult child to understand if the parents are not severely pathological and they're not dangerous and they're not viciously manipulative. And because I'm going to get email that say, Dr. Ray, you don't understand. My mother was this way. Okay, I'm not arguing that those don't occur. What I'm saying is that this phenomenon that you're experiencing, Mary, is pervasive now. And you asked if it was among the woke. I don't know. I think woke would be part of it, but I think the major part of it is two things. One, the younger generation has been shaped in a different way of thinking than what you might call traditional Christianity. That's one. And two, I forgot two, shaped into Christianity, and two, that with their own discontent, they have to look for a place to blame. And the nearest place is parents. And they've decided that you did everything wrong. Sadly, I would imagine, I can't say this for sure because I don't know, but my experience is when these adult children write off their parents, more often than not, the adult children are not living peaceful, contented lives.
She's not.
Right. By the outside world, she all looks great. She's competent. She goes to parties. She makes a lot of money. She's cool. She's good looking. She's intelligent. She graduated with a master's. She's got all that.
Yes.
But so what? Half the people in my office are what you would call financially successful, and their lives are so sad. So, I don't know a whole lot of relationship there.
And several years ago, she told me, she said, Mom, I would give all this up and live in a single wide out in the country somewhere and be perfectly happy.
Well, I don't know why she's blaming you then. All righty. Mary, God
Maybe
bless you.
I put her through college.
Be at peace, my dear. Be at peace. Do not beat yourself up over this, because you will go to your grave beating yourself up if she doesn't at some point soften. God bless you, hon. I'll talk to you. Louise has a story about her son in the second grade and him being well-behaved in school but not at home. The most common reason for somebody getting called strong-willed. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I have heard you talk a lot about why kids, or sometimes say kids are good in school, and then at home they're harder to manage. When my son was in the second grade, he's now 47, after we left a child conference where the teacher bragged about how good he was, I said to him, I said, I don't get it. I said, how come you're so good in school, but you're so bad at home? And he said, well, Mom, I figure it this way. He said, I can't be good both at home and at school, and I figured you'd rather I be good for other people than be good and bad for you than be bad for other people and good for you. So that's what I do.
There it is. So he said, yeah, you know, you can't expect me to be decent all the time. That's just way beyond my ability.
I just laugh all the time when you talk about that topic, because I just thought that that was so funny that he said that. I just wanted to share.
I love it. Very nice, my dear. I had something.
Have a good day.
All righty. My son did something similar when he was in preschool. He pulled some stunt. It was just nothing. Something. He threw some cornmeal at a kid or something. And we talked to him, and he came home, and he said, well, Dad, and this is a four-year-old kid, mind you. I know some things are good to do, and I know some things are bad to do. But how can I know which is which until I try them all? Yeah, that boy is a high-level engineer right now working on submarines. I should have seen it coming. 877-573-7825. 1-800-875. Boy, look at Natalie dropped off because she was having family conflicts. Sharon had a broken relationship with her daughter-in-law from something she said about their relationship. She won't talk to me now. How to heal? Well, if you had stayed on, Sharon, I could have given you some ideas. I can't give you ideas. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. 877-573-7825.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thank you for joining me. Dr. Ray here. Sharon and Natalie apparently did not care that this would dredge up. This would dredge up my excitement when a girl actually called me in college and then hung up. Hung up. 5 minutes into the call. Now, in these cases, it's a little different because they hung up before I even got to the call, which is like I heard the phone ring, and then it stopped ringing. And then I found out later. They said, yeah, I called you, but I decided not to talk to you. Ed, calling from California. Hi, Ed.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Right now,
Ed, you got your you got it. Can you do something about your breaking up phone? Ed, I'll tell you what. You're gonna have to call back, buddy. All right, you're gonna have to call back because that phone is you're totally gone now. All right, so give me a call. I wanna address Sharon from Denver. She had a broken relationship with her daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. That is the number one generational source of conflict. There's others. I mean, obviously, daughter, mother, father, son, that, there's others. Daughter-in-law, mother-in-law is the number one in my experience. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but let's not get into the dynamics right now. Something that Sharon said about her son, the daughter-in-law's husband, and them struggling. Apparently, it was something about the relationship, apparently. Financial? Okay. Something about the struggle financially. Well, maybe Sharon was trying to help, and she said, well, you think you need to do this, or perhaps you're doing too much of this, or whatever. Whatever it was, whether it was fair, whether it was accurate, whether it was helpful, whether it was benign, in some cases is totally irrelevant because the other person heard it bad. They took it personal. They took it as an attack. They took it as a critique. They took it as a lack of understanding. Whatever it was negative. And this happens so often, and that's why I relentlessly on this program say be very, very careful about what you say, especially if that relationship isn't sturdy as all get out, if it's fragile. Be careful, because it can be misinterpreted. And how many times people say to me, but I didn't mean it that way, that was not my intent. I believe you. They didn't. Now, Sharon says, this daughter-in-law will not talk to her. And her question is, how do I heal the relationship? And I talk about this. I forget which one of my books I talk about this in. I think it was Family Faith Under Fire. You got a couple things here. Two-step, really. A two-general step. One, you see if you can find out exactly what it is that you said. And as part of it, you first of all, you don't dispute it. You don't say, well, I didn't really say that. That's not exactly the words I used. No, don't dispute it. You're on a fact-finding. Okay, that's bad. Fact-finding. Might not be fact-finding. You're on an information mission. You want to know what they heard you say. It may not have been what you said. What did they hear you say? Then you want to know, how did they take it? What was it about what you said that really upset them? You just want to know that. You're not going to dispute it. You're not going to defend yourself. You're not going to justify it. You're not going to say, I was only trying to help. No. Step two, the hardest step. I am so sorry. I should never have said that. I look back on it now and I realized I spoke without thinking. I hope you can forgive me, because that was not my business, and you didn't ask for my opinion, and I didn't need to give it. And I'm sure that I probably don't know all the facts. So therefore, I just want you to know how sorry I am. Now, if you think you didn't do anything wrong, that's really hard to do, because you're thinking to yourself, what am I apologizing for? There's nothing to apologize for. I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, but your question, how to heal the relationship, is the guiding question. It's not, am I going to stand my ground because I wasn't wrong, so I'm not going to say anything? Or is it, I want to heal the relationship above all things for a lot of reasons, for whatever the reasons, for my son, for the whole thing, for my grandkids, whatever it is, there's more at stake. Then you're admitting you're wrong when you don't think you're wrong. So that said, you apologize for the wrong that she heard you say. I'm sorry, but I just think you should. Dr. Ray.
Ever get asked one of those tough questions, like, do Catholics worship Mary? And in that moment, you freeze. Truthfully, the Catholic AI app gives you answers in seconds rooted in scripture, tradition, and the magisterium. Whether you're navigating a tough conversation, deepening your faith, or looking for daily spiritual guidance, Truthly helps you know, live, and defend the Catholic faith. Truthly can be found in the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Truthly, T-R-U-T-H-L-Y.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Thank you for joining me here. I just want to do this. This is something that, for me, when I was in the evangelical world, of course, we just read Scripture and you just tried to understand Scripture. And all too often, what you saw was just the surface understanding of Scripture. And to be totally fair, people would say, well, no, that's why you got to get concordances and you got to get different types of commentaries so you can understand Scripture. Okay, got that. But it depends on who's writing the commentary. And I saw that my understanding of Scripture was by nature going to be shallow. And this brought it home to me. This was Gabriel speaking to our Blessed Mother. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So she was 6 months pregnant. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, once again, at that point, apparently Mary truly believed, she wasn't dreaming, that in fact, this was an angel who identified himself as Gabriel, and she responded to him. She said, okay, I'm with you. I'll do it. Wow, think about this. Can you imagine? Little teenage girl finding out she's going to be pregnant, and everybody's going to go, oh, Mary, that is so cool. That is so cool. You're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know anybody who's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I think I can get you on TV. I think I can. You got to at least write a book. You could have like a $6 million book deal on this one. Little did Mary know she was going to be part of the book that was the all-time bestseller by far. So anyway, now, here's where the parallels start. The Ark of the Covenant, which contained Aaron's rod, priest, the showbread, the bread of life, and the Ten Commandments, the law. Our Lord was the bread of life, gave the law, and better than the law, and was the high priest. Right? Parallels, parallels, parallels. Well, here's where the parallels come in. Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was recovered, and it was in the hill country. Hill country and the house of Obed-Edom. I'm recalling all this from memory, so I hope I'm not wrong. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. When David saw the ark, it said, as it recounted this in the Old Testament, he leaped for joy. When he saw the ark, now here's Mary, always viewed as the ark of the new covenant by the early church fathers and by scriptural understanding. And Elizabeth was filled with worshiping, as fasting and prayer night and day. Okay, now that where the heck is... Wait a minute. I'm going to turn the page, I think. Oops, I went the wrong way. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," which people get angry at us for praying a Hail Mary, but we're taking it right from Scripture. And here it is. "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord..." Now, the word Lord there is translated God. All right? It's not just Lord like, yeah, my ruler, my superior. No, it's the word is translated God. In original language, Greek, "should come to me." David, when he saw the ark, said, "Who am I that the ark of the Lord should come to me?" So then Mary prays her Magnificat, and then it says, "And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months." The ark of the covenant remained in the house of Obed-Edom for about 3 months. When I was moving out of the non-denominational that I had been in, coming back to the church, the assistant pastor was very angry, very angry. He saw himself as just an incredible scripture scholar. And he came uninvited to a Bible study that I was giving once. I was giving a presentation on our Blessed Mother. And this particular passage in Luke, I drew the parallels to the Ark of the Covenant, which was not my interpretation. All right, this interpretation of the very earliest church fathers. Mary was the Ark of the New Covenant. And the Ark had to be pure, by the way. His response when I went through this was not, "Wow, I'd never seen that. That's interesting." It just goes to show you there's a lot of things about Scripture you got to dig deep on. No. You know what he said? And I didn't say anything back, but here's what I was thinking. He said, "Well, you you can make Scripture sometimes say anything you want." I should have gone, "Exactly. What are you admitting?" But I didn't. I just shut up because I knew he was hostile. And as far as I know, he's not even in the ministry anymore. But at that time, he didn't want to hear this. He did not want to hear this. And if I would have said, "This is how the early church fathers viewed this passage, a lot of them," he almost would have said, "So what? I'm not bound by the early church fathers. I'm bound by my understanding through the Holy Spirit." Whoa. Scriptural hubris. And that spoke to me because I realized that when I read Scripture, as enlightening as it is for me, there's so much of it below the water level. It's like the Marianas Trench. You know, it goes down 7.5 miles in the Pacific Ocean. Way down there. And I see the waves on top of it. That's what I see. That's 7.5 miles. I don't even see the tip of the iceberg because it goes down a lot farther than an average iceberg. And I think that's the way it is with Scripture. There's so much to it. And the thing that's fascinating about, especially the Gospels, they're so understated. They're not trying to pile word upon word upon word to convince us. They're just simply saying, "Okay, so then this happened, and then this happened. And then the people were amazed. And then this happened. And I want to go, "Give me more details. Tell me." No, I would never get away with this. If I were writing a book, my editor would say, "Well, you can't just say it that way, Ray. You got add more to it. Get some more in there. I just believe the Lord wanted to say, here's my truth. Accept it or reject it, or neglect it or ignore it, but I'll just give it to you. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just trying to tell you. Wow. Good stuff from our Lord. Well, thank you very much. Thanks, Ari Dumont, for taking care of things on that end. Appreciate it so very, very much. And again, I hope your Christmas season is blessed. And since I won't be here tomorrow, we're going to talk about Friday, good Lord permitting, I'll see you, with a lot of the ideas about resolutions, which sometimes become revolutions. Walk with God into the new year.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.